Every day, in communities just like yours, men and women devote their lives to building our economies, brick by brick and job by job. These are their stories. You're listening to From the Ground Up, North America's Top 50 Economic Developers.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to From the Ground Up, North America's Top 50 Economic Developers. I'm Tim Tarantine, here with Carla Winchester. Carla, so good to see you. What's going on?
It's going great, Tim. I heard you had a great conversation this week with Alicia Hutchings from Kansas Commerce.
Yes, I did. She actually manages all the site location and business recruitment projects in the central and southeast areas of the United States. She comes to this work from both Texas and Kansas. She's been doing great work in the private sector before she came into this work in economic development. And she's really a voice of leadership for the future of our industry. I think she's one of those voices we're going to be hearing for years to come. Her insights are spot on. And I think she adds a lot of value to the conversation around leadership and economic development.
Well, I am definitely looking forward to hearing your conversation with her.
Yeah, sit back and enjoy, folks. Hello, Alicia. Welcome to the call. We're so glad to have you today. And congratulations on being named one of North America's top 50 economic developers.
Well, thank you. It's an honor to be nominated, and I appreciate being considered for sure. Thank you very much.
So economic development is one of these strange fields. When I get to talk to economic developers, I always start by asking, how did you come into the field? And usually people are telling me about how they stumbled into economic development. Did you stumble or did you intentionally walk into the career?
No, I absolutely stumbled into the career for sure. I went to school in Lawrence, Kansas, where University of Kansas is. And after I graduated from college for a year, I decided I wanted to go back to Lawrence to live. And I found a position being an administrative assistant, you know, at the time I was 22 years old, for the Economic Development Department at the Chamber of Commerce. And I thought, well, I'm not sure what economic development is, but I know that I can handle being an administrative assistant and I want to live in Lawrence. And so that's how I fell into it. My career went from there.
So it was really the Jayhawks that pushed you into the door. You wanted to come
really
back
was.
Home. I get on that.
It was.
I'm telling you. Nobody will hold that part against you. So let's just forecast. I want to start by some visioning out how you see the future. I'm going to give you a sentence with a blank in it, and I'd love for you to fill in the blank. So The most relevant and impactful economic developers in 2020 will have blank in common.
I would say relationships. You know, relationships are important today. Obviously, we know that. But I think it's going to continue just to become increasingly important. And also, I think it's important to remember that a relationship goes beyond just trying to get a project or a deal out of someone. My most successful relationships bring deals to me eventually over time. And it's not about me meeting somebody and thinking, what can they do for me? Really, it's just about meeting somebody and getting to know them. Like I said, my most successful projects came out of consultants that I've become friends with, and 5, 6, 10 years later, they actually have a project that might be a fit for Kansas. And so because of that pre-existing relationship, we're actually more successful at working the project together. We communicate better. We understand each other and how we work, and it just makes the job that much easier. So it's going to continue to be a key aspect of being a successful economic developer is building relationships.
No question about it. And I want to talk about a specific relationship for which you have unique experience. So as a person who has experience at the state level, which is a different monster, there's a myth, and in some cases, quite frankly, a reality, that the relationship between local regional economic developers and the state is often either strained or at best not aligned. What is the role of the state in economic development today with all of the changes that have taken place with site selection, with retention and expansion efforts? What is the sweet spot role for the state to play in economic development?
Yeah, I think that's a great question. I think, first of all, the roles currently vary from state to state because I assume that every state organization is like ours, and that's not the case. And when I find out it's not the case, I always find that interesting, but we have a pretty strong partnership with our locals. The most important thing is that a local can feel comfortable calling us, and if they have a concern or a need, they can bring that to our attention. Again, it's about communication, about having those relationships. If a local brings us a project, we want them to feel comfortable that it's going to stay confidential, that we will help and support them in any way we can to get that project to their community. And it happens the opposite direction, too. We try to exhaust all our options and include every community that we have in a project based off the client's criteria. So our job is to get it somewhere in the state, and that's what our focus is. So we've been very successful over the years, at least since I've been with the state, and I really do know prior to that as well, of having strong relationships with our local partners. And it's because of those relationships we've been so successful in, you know, initiatives or partnerships or marketing trips, things along those lines. So it's important to work together as a team, but we both have tools to bring to the table on projects, so it helps. It's crucial to be really involved with each other in a project and really focused on the end game, which is getting the project here in the state.
No question about it. I'm going to stay right there in that position at the state level. You know, when we review and do continuous improvement in companies and economic development organizations, we often go through a process called start, stop, continue. And so I'm curious, from a state perspective, we're going to leave the stop thing alone because I want to keep it positive. But what do you think organizations or economic development organizations who are local or regional should start doing, and what's something they should continue doing that would help us all get better results in economic development?
You know, what I've seen on a local level, what they should start doing is really identifying two areas and really work to get kind of the information vetted and either put on their website or just really strong backed information. And that's two areas. One is real estate and the other one's workforce. I see sometimes that, and it's not just in my state, but I see sometimes that we have projects and sometimes the first things they're looking for is existing buildings or simple stuff. You know, I need 50 acres. Does it have gas? Does it have water? And sometimes communities, they're doing all this other stuff. And so they're never really sitting there one day and going, oh, you know, I think today I'll just put together that information on that site. But it isn't until the time that we reach out to them and say, okay, I need this. And, you know, the client wants it in 24 hours that they're needing to get the information together. So I think kind of starting to evaluate some real estate opportunities in their area, just a couple, and getting those kind of fully vetted out, ready to market. But the other thing is workforce. And starting to do some research on your current workforce, where your strengths are, what kind of partnerships you can have with your universities, and have that information gathered, because that is crucial for us, is to say, okay, you want to put your company here, here's how you can be successful because we have the workforce to support you. So I think those two things are always something, and that was going on when I was doing economic development on a local level. It's something you have to constantly work on and constantly update. And sometimes it just falls by the wayside because we're doing other things while we're waiting on the next project to come in. I would say that would be something that they should start to focus on.
Absolutely. And then they're obviously doing good work, and you spoke to some of the continued work there. I want to now think about the rules of the game, economic development as an industry, the way we approach the work. If you were given a magic wand and could recreate how we do economic development, as a nation, what would be the first two things you would change?
I would say absolutely the first thing I would change is a more streamlined process when it comes to responding to RFIs. I still find it so surprising that there's not some sort of online tool, online software that, you know, I'm still getting Excel documents where I'm responding. I'm still putting together PDFs. I'm surprised there's not some sort of system that has helped streamline the process and populate that information on the consultant side, because they're doing a lot of gathering and a lot of analysis, and they're putting it into their matrix. And so I would love to see something that would be more consistent, especially I think it would better prepare our communities for responses, too, if there was something a little bit better vetted out and a little bit more consistent. And I know that information that a client needs constantly changes depending on the client, but just having something a little bit more standardized would be better on both ends. So that would be the first thing I would change. And then the second thing, it's a little bit looking back and looking forward, but I think that as economic developers, we need to learn how to adapt to the change in technologies. And I'm not talking about technology just on how we do business. I'm not talking about moving away from faxing RFI responses back to a consultant
sure,
now emailing them. But I'm talking about also changes in the technology and how that's changing and affecting our existing companies and new companies coming in. And I think that sometimes I feel like we're still in shock and awe of all the changes and the effects that technology is having. And it's not only having effect just on how, like I said, how companies are doing business, but also we're talking about regulatory issues and changes in laws and things like that. And I think that we have to stop and really take a look at that and say, okay, we know things are evolving, and maybe stop and talk to our existing companies and say, how has your industry been affected and what's going to change? Are we going to be losing workforce? Are we going to be gaining workforce because of this technology? What type of workforce are we going to need to address these changes? So it already is such a crucial aspect in everyday life and how we do business, but it's just going to continue to become more and more important. And it's going to, I feel like, evolve faster as we go forward than it ever has evolved. So I think it's important for us to stay on top of that. And I think we might be a little bit behind. I mean, I think all of a sudden things started popping up and we never would have thought in a million years I'd be talking on a cell phone and getting email. And now all of a sudden I'm doing this. And now all of a sudden I'm buying things on my phone. So it's just happening so quickly. We're just kind of just going with the flow. So I think that that's something we need to kind of maybe change our attitude towards and look towards the future.
No question about it. You've been great. I want to ask you one final question. One of my heroes in business asks his employees all the time, how are we creating the type of company that would put us out of business? My question to you is, how are you and your team at the state creating the type of economic development work or environment for economic development that would eventually beat what you currently do, right? Or how are you innovating and preparing for the next wave?
You know, I think with the state of Kansas, and perhaps this is a bit of a Midwestern kind of philosophy, but at the end of the day, we have the workforce we have currently. We have the real estate we have the infrastructure, we have the incentives. And there's really only one thing that's left that can set us apart, and really one thing alone that we can control. And that's you as the individual. So are you responsive? Are you accessible? Are you answering the questions to the client? Are you friendly? Are you just doing your job that you need to be doing and doing it with a positive attitude? And I think with our organization, or at least for the 8 years that I've been with the state, that is the one thing that I will say that I probably love most about my job, is that every person that I touch in my job, whether it's a program manager in Topeka, whether it's one of my supervisors, we all understand the importance of what we do, that we're trying to create opportunities for our fellow citizens in Kansas. And because of that, because of our dedication to our state, and because of our dedication to the citizens of our state and getting companies here to employ them, we all put forth our best effort and our most positive attitude all the time. That's what we try to bring to the table every day. Because in the end, that's the one thing I can control. I can control me. And I think that that's really the attitude that we all take at our jobs. And I feel like a lot of locals do that as well here. So I think that that's what sets us apart, because really it's the only thing sometimes that will set us apart on a project or working with somebody. And that's basically what we do to try to put ourselves out of business, is to be the better business.
Alicia, all the leadership experts would say that your response was spot on. Thank you so much for being on the podcast today. Congratulations on being named one of North America's top 50 economic developers. And we can hear from your passion that your work and the success in Kansas will continue in part because you bring your stuff every day. Thanks for being a part.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for tuning in to North America's Top 50, produced by Consultant Connect, an organization working to bridge the gap between leading economic developers and location consultants. To learn more about what we do and how to get involved, please visit consultantconnect.org or tweet me at Ron Kitchens.